Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
I'm going to ask you, if you will, to stand out of respect for God's word. We don't have the screen today, but if you do have a New Living Translation, you're welcome to follow along. We're in Acts chapter 7. Sorry, I have to hold a microphone a little bit different outside. We're in Acts chapter 7. We're going to read verses 51 through 60. I'll read the first. Marta will read the next. We'll go back and forth. And if you do have a New Living Translation, you're welcome to read along with her. Hear the word of the Lord. Acts 7, starting in verse 51. This is in context of Stephen being arrested. He just gave a sermon about their heritage, and then he nails it. Starting at verse 51. You stubborn people, you are heathen at the heart and deaf to truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Verse 52.
Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered.
You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. Verse 54.
The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists at him in rage.
But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 56.
And he told them, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man is standing in the place of honor at God's right hand."
Then he put his hand over, then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting, and they rushed at him. Verse 58.
And dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul.
As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Verse 60.
He fell to his knees, shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died.
Let's pray. Lord, I ask today that the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat. Again, I am excited that you are here. Before we go into today's chapter 7 of the book of Acts, I want to remind you, as Debbie already did, on my right, your left, we invite you all to stay. They are cooking food. I'm really excited about that. And so it is an opportunity to go over and get to know folks that you don't know. We are trying desperately to create community here at the church, so we will give you instructions at the end of my sermon for that. Just wanted to make you aware of that. If you somehow missed that and you were like, "I didn't know," you're still welcome to be a part of that. We want people to come and be a part of our fellowship. Also want to let you know that this Friday at 7 p.m. in that big building on my left, your right, we are going to pray. Is that okay? We're going to pray at Friday. It's our Friday night prayer, 7 p.m. We will pray for our families, our nation, the world. We will pray for revival, and we will pray for healing and deliverance. We believe God is up to something amazing, and if you have people that are in your life that need prayed for, this would be a good time to bring them with you. We will pray and ask God's healing touch on people. So we believe that God is doing incredible things in our midst. He is definitely showing up, and we know that the fuel to that is prayer. So I hope to see you this Friday. I know it's the middle of the summer, but when man prays, God works. But when man works, man works. I want God to work. Anybody with me this morning? Amen? Yeah. So we're in the middle of a series. We're marching right through the book of Acts. We've done 6 chapters, if you've been with us. We've entitled this series, The Unstoppable Force, The Church. And I've said at the beginning of each sermon that I've said to you, and I've made the declaration, I love the church. The church has been maligned, it's been accused, it's been guilty on lots of fronts, but at the end of the day, it's the church that will stand. At the end of the day, Jesus makes the declaration that we are his bride. I love the church because I love you. You are the church. Can I get an amen? And so we need to know that this concept that Jesus gave us, the church is unstoppable. And over the first six chapters, we've looked at everything from Jesus ascending to heaven to the Holy Spirit descending upon us, people being filled with the Holy Ghost, the signs and wonders and miracles, the birth of the church, Peter, who once was fearful and now is able to preach with power and authority, that opposition begins to occur. And then we saw last week in chapter 6 that Stephen is now arrested. I got to say something as we jump in to this chapter. First thing is, pray for me. I have been preaching like crazy over the last couple of weeks, and my voice has been a little weak, and I only know one way to do it, full blast, and my voice is saying stop. But just pray that I get through this time, because I believe God has a word for you. If you believe that God has a word for you, will you say amen? Yes, yes. And as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking, man, this is supposed to be an exciting day. We're all together. It's sunshining. We're going to have food. We're going to have great worship. And I've got to preach on Stephen being killed. How can I preach on that and really move there? But I believe that God has a word for us. Let me say this clearly to us. God is doing, as I've already said, something pretty amazing in our midst. And every time he is on the move, and every time lives are being changed, here's what we know will occur. Opposition will raise its head every single time. So don't be surprised when something good is happening with you spiritually that there won't be opposition. It happens in two ways. Historically in our country, as it relates to our faith, it typically has occurred internally. In other words, the enemy uses you and I to fight with one another so we get off mission. Anybody been there, done that? Secondly, we see that it happens externally. People outside the church. Pretty foreign for us in America, not foreign for the rest of the world. And we see that Stephen here is the one that they are trying to take out. Remember who Stephen is in chapter 6. He's not an apostle. He's not a disciple. He's one of the six men that they called out to work with the food program. So he isn't the elite. He is just one of the guys. And yet they're out to take him out. The goal is always the same for the enemy. And that is to stop us from the mission of Jesus. It's always been the same. But I make my declaration here in front of you. And with you sitting here in this parking lot and in your cars. And those of you online. It is very clear that the church is unstoppable. Unstoppable because of Jesus. Can I get an amen? If you can you give me one honk out there for those in the cars? All right. It is my desire that when we finish going through these chapters, that you and I have a better understanding of the early church and what they experienced and what they went through. And number two, that we would begin to practice some of the principles that they were engaged in while they were trying to get on with the mission of Jesus. You see, Stephen was the beginning of incredible persecution. It was right here that the line was drawn in the sand. I find it interesting as we go through the book of Acts and we start teaching about the Holy Spirit. I find it interesting that God is starting to do something new and fresh in our midst. That in the middle of all of that, that we are beginning to see signs that the church is now under external pressure in many ways that I don't need to articulate, that many of you already know is coming. Foreign to us in America, as I've already said, but not foreign to the rest of the brothers and sisters around the world. It is my responsibility as your pastor is to prepare you, not to entertain you. Is that okay? To prepare the body that they will be ready to stand in the power and the authority of the Spirit when, in fact, the external influences and challenges come our way. We see it as the church was started with Stephen. I am convinced we will see it as we finish the mission. That is clear, and that's what he's doing right here and right now. So they arrest Stephen, not one of the disciples, not one of the apostles, but one of the men that was caring for the food program. And if they can take Stephen out, they're thinking that maybe, just maybe, they can stop this thing called the church. And as they did, And as he was before the council, they started creating all of these lies of what he said and what he did. And so he starts this incredible, elaborate description of their heritage. And he says to them, we didn't have time to read it all. You can see it in the full chapter. Men, we are from the same heritage. We just have drawn different conclusions. We are from Abraham. And from Abraham, we realized that a nation would rise up. And finally, from Jacob, 12 sons would be birthed. And as 70, they would march into Egypt out of a necessity because of a great famine. But after many years, God would bless them in such a way they would become a nation that was an actual threat to the nation of Egypt. And then God would allow persecution to occur because they would never leave Egypt unless God had enabled them to be able to get a little uncomfortable. He raises up, this is Stephen, I'm paraphrasing what he's saying. And then he says, he'll raise up Moses, who will deliver them out into a promised land. They will have this promise to be a blessing to the nations. And then through my children, David and Solomon, a temple will be built. All of it pointing to a greater day. All of it pointing to the Messiah. But you all have missed it. Your religion has blinded you. It's been all about you. It's been about positioning yourself that somehow you win and you have advantages. So you've missed the whole thing. And he starts to come after them. And what we see in this moment, after he gave that incredible speech, he then, knowing what was before him, really gives us an opportunity to learn from this guy. Because he now nails it. We read those verses. I think there's three things I want to say to you quickly that we can learn from him that he did in the moment, in the heat of the moment. Number one was simply this. He did this. Boldly preach the truth. Boldly preach the truth. We see that with Stephen. Can somebody say preach? Somebody say truth. That's exactly what he was doing in verses 51 to 53. I am convinced of what Paul says. I am not ashamed of the gospel and the power of God, which is salvation of all men and women. Is there anybody out here today? Is there anybody online that's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you out there? Can you let me know of it today? Are you not ashamed of it? We know that in this moment that Stephen had an opportunity. Was he going to back down? Was he going to be quiet? Was he going to save his own skin? Hardly. And you see in verse 51, after giving that little history lesson, he goes after them. If you're in verse 51, he calls them stubborn, uncircumcised hearts, deaf to the truth, and truly resisting the Holy Spirit. He goes after them. He preaches. Now, let me just back up. Preaching. That's the crazy thing about all of this, is that we think preaching is on a stage. We think it's from an individual like myself. But that's not what Scripture says. I take you to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, and he says, preach the word in season and out of season, given the reason for why you believe what you believe. We think that preaching is more about our self-righteousness. We think that preaching is more about proving that we're right and they're wrong. I'm not here to tell you all of those details, but I will tell you this. In the gospel, preaching is truly just sharing what Jesus Christ has done in your life and offering it to them. When I came to know Christ those many years ago, in July 28th, coming up, 1982, I have now aged myself at 16 years young. There was something that happened inside of me so amazing that I stand on this trailer today because it meant so much to me. It is more alive inside of who I am at 54 years old than it was at 16. I didn't know the word. I didn't understand the challenges. I didn't know the church culture. All I knew is that I had been transformed and experienced the life-giving message of Jesus. And immediately what happened in my life is that I went directly to my high school friends. And I guess you would call it preaching, but I sat at that kitchen, the lunchroom table. And I began to share the message of Jesus Christ to them and what he did in my life just 2 weeks prior, and said to them, and Jesus loves you too. And in that moment, I am convinced, and two things happened. I watched all of those guys one by one through the school year come to Jesus Christ. Number two, I am convinced that that was preaching the gospel. And had I not been obedient in that moment as a nobody, as a 16-year-old who didn't even know the Bible, but he encountered Jesus, that I wouldn't be standing here today, because preaching is not just for the clergy. Preaching is not just for the ones that can articulate. It's for all of us, for every single one of us. If you believe that, will you say amen? We see in verse 52 and 53, evil has been at the core of their hearts for a long time. They've been at it, as I've been saying. And he teaches us that we are to proclaim, Stephen does. We are to proclaim truth like never before. I believe in 2021, right here on this July 18, I am seeing a silencing of the church. I'm seeing a silencing of believers. We are beginning to become more intimidated. We are beginning to get more swayed to the left and to the right and getting distracted on the main thing. I make the declaration to you today. We will, from this point forward, we have in our history, and we will at this point forward and moving ahead, we will always be gospel-centered, Jesus-centered, scripture-centered. Is that okay for anybody that's out here today? It's time that we raise our voice for what we know is true. That Jesus is the answer to all of our challenges. And we must make that the prime objective as we have. And we see that, we see here that he teaches us what it means to have confidence and courage. For I have preached in many situations, but I have never preached as Stephen preached in that moment. I've never preached where I'm being literally drugged out of a city and I'm being thrown into a pit. And I'm going to be brutally murdered, as was the tradition, by stones. And in that moment, by the way, Stephen says, before it all occurs, I have a few more words for you. This dude is showing us something supernatural. He's showing us courage that he cannot buy at the store. He's showing us confidence that he can never have in himself. He's showing us what it means to have a relationship with the God who created him and was having the ability that he could never do it. He's already declared in Scripture, he has not given one of us, any of you who declare Jesus, he's not given one individual in this parking lot, one individual online, a spirit of fear. Not a one of you. Not a one of you. It's time that we stop living in it, because it was never from God. But he gave you a spirit of courage, of sound mind, and discipline, and love. Is that good news for anybody here this morning? We see that with Stephen clearly. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 10, what did he say? Don't worry. I'll give you exactly what you need to say in the moment that you need to say it. I don't know about you, but I trust him. I trust him for what I need in the moment that I need it. So as we begin to share our lives, we've missed, I believe, so often, so many opportunities. We've missed it over and over again. We're not looking with spirit eyes. And we've missed opportunities to share with others. What is your motive for sharing? You're not out there to show somebody that they're wrong. You're not out there to show them that you're better. You're not out there to win a debate. You're doing what you do simply because something has happened so incredibly in your heart. Does this make sense to anybody? Something is transformed inside of you that you can't hold it in. I don't care if you've been following Jesus 5 minutes or 55 years. You can't hold it in if you've truly experienced the one who created you. Does this make sense to anybody? Amen? Truly see it here. The world needs truth today. The world needs truth today. And we need to preach the gospel boldly as Stephen did. We live in a day and age where truth is fading quickly. We are living in the book in the era of judges, where everyone does as they see fit in their own eyes. Everybody has their own starting point. Everybody has their own truth. And as a result, we are on the brink of chaos. You've got to have an absolute. You've got to have truth. And it's time that we unashamedly stand up for truth. Not that we're better than anybody else, but we are humble servants. We are children of the King who saved us, and we will love all people even if they persecute us. Can I get an amen? The key is proclaiming the truth that you have to first believe it. And until you truly believe it, it won't make any difference in your life. You must believe it. That's the first thing we learned from Stephen in the midst of this incredible moment. He had this ability to truly boldly preach Jesus. truth. The second thing we see about him, we see in verses 54 and 56, is be faithful until the end. Be faithful until the end. Somebody say, be faithful. We see in verse 54, these religious leaders are enraged. They're grinding their teeth. They're putting their hands over their ears. They are truly in that moment. We are seeing in the demonic can no longer hide itself. It's overtly coming forward and revealing themselves. We're after one thing, and that is to destroy this man. What you need to know is that Scripture says light and darkness cannot stand in the same place. And light will always expose darkness. And in that moment, because of Stephen's faithfulness, the evil was actually seen. Now, this moment brings us to the hard question, if you're really a thinking follower of Christ. Why, God? Why would you allow Stephen, one of your own, to suffer death under evil? Why would you not deliver him? It's a tough question. And we could do an entire sermon series on it, but let me just say this. Good happens to the evil and the good. Bad happens to evil and the good. How do I know that? Jesus said it. He said the sun rises on the good and the evil, and it rains on the good and evil. In other words, what we see happening here is because of freedom, we get to choose. We are experiencing the repercussion of that choice. And we're seeing how men and women can truly walk away from God. If you are online or in this parking lot and you are thinking, man, that guy is way too hyper and I don't really follow this Jesus thing and I don't want it. The fact that you are saying that you don't want it actually validates that you have freedom to choose, which validates that you were created by a God that gave you that ability to choose to love him. And we find ourselves here in a situation that Stephen is being faithful, and we see the outpouring of the evil trying to stop good. Why does God sometimes deliver people and sometimes allow for it? We do not know the answer to that. But we see here, and we see in every situation, is that God will never allow that to go without using it for something even greater. He will twist and turn that what the enemy meant to kill and destroy. You remember that he came to kill and destroy, John 10:10. And we see that Stephen in his faithfulness, even though he's going to go down as it relates to physically, God is going to use this. And he's going to use it powerfully. And we must understand this today. We know from Romans 8, God says, and I will do all things. I will work all things for the good. Doesn't mean the murder and the slaughter of Stephen was good. It means that God will now twist this and use this to really raise up his church in ways that we've never seen. Because what we see here is we see in verses 55 and 56, we see God's provision for Stephen in this moment. He has an unbending intimacy with the Holy Spirit. What he knows in this moment as he's about to die is what? Something that many of us have never experienced. In the key heat of the moment, he realized experientially that he was not alone. We know that the scripture says, as Jesus said, and I am with you to the very end of the what? The age. He also says in Romans 8 that nothing will separate you from me, neither death nor life, right? We know those verses. But Stephen is experiencing it. He's experiencing firsthand that he is not alone in that moment because he's being faithful in that moment. He's not alone, and he's being empowered, as I've already said. It's no longer Stephen that is interacting in this moment. It is the Spirit of God that's doing exactly what he needs to do, giving him the perspective that he needs. Heaven is opened up. He sees Jesus, as the scripture says. He sees the Father. He's given him exactly what he needs to face the moment that he's about to experience. And here's what I know to be true. I believe it with everything in my heart, is that the Holy Spirit will do that exactly for every single believer. Whatever it is we go through, if we are faithful to him today, he will give you what you need tomorrow. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be in fear of it. All you need to do is love him today as Stephen was faithful to him. I believe that throughout the history of the world, as the church faces opposition, that we can remain faithful, but it becomes much more difficult when we choose to engage Jesus and we haven't engaged him up to that point, and we're in the middle of it, and then we throw out our 911 and our SOS and say, oh, God. And then we want to bargain with God, don't we? If you deliver me from this, I will give you all of my heart. What's up with that? You give him your heart today so that when you face that moment, he'll give you everything you need. In my own life, I can tell you without going into all the details, every single time that I felt that I would not make it, that I would be shot or I would be kidnapped or I wouldn't make it through this situation or that around the world, in each of those moments, there was actually something supernatural that was happening because I already said, I'm yours until my last breath. Not because I'm strong, not because I'm motivated, not because somehow I've got this passion. No, because I am faithful today, he'll give me what I need in that moment. And I believe that with every single thing that I have. Anybody else with me this morning? Amen. Stephen is an example of somebody who is faithful to the end. Our commitment, our key point is our commitment to Jesus is fueled by the empowering Holy Spirit. Last point that we learned from him, and this is really important, glory awaits. Glory awaits. Can somebody say glory? Glory. One more time, glory. And we see verses 57 to 60 that we get a glimpse of the supernatural in that point. We get to see that these evil men cross over the line, and their hate is now poured out, and they rush him, and they begin to kill and destroy Stephen. You need to know in verse 58, the Old Testament would have a tradition that they would stone people whenever there was blasphemy. So this is what they're doing with Stephen. But here's the amazing thing that we see happening here, that God's already up to something. Because in verses 59 and 60, you have a young lad named Saul. We'll in 2 weeks look at his life and his conversion. But he's there saying, this is awesome. Kill him, kill him, kill him. Holding the jackets. He goes from there, we think, fueled by the evil of all of this as he goes out and drags Christians out of homes to arrest them. But I believe that even though Saul didn't know it, there was something happening inside of Saul as he watched the reaction of Stephen. He sees something that he can't explain. He sees something that only supernaturally could occur. And we see in that moment that there's a glory before him as heaven is opened up and he sees the Father. And now he has the perspective that he needs. He has the courage that he needs. And we see that in verse 59 and 60, he's able to echo just like Jesus did when Jesus was dying on the cross. Forgive them for what they're about to do. And also, Lord, I commit my spirit to you. He's doing something that is supernatural. This wasn't rehearsed. He didn't pull out the sheet. What did Jesus say? You can't do that when you got rocks hitting you. It's something that's already happening supernatural with him. Does this make sense? He's echoing the exact words of Jesus because glory is before him, which gives him the ability and the courage and the comfort and the strength to be who he needs to be. In other words, Stephen was ready for glory. I don't know about you, my friends, but you don't have to be 98 to be ready for glory. You can be 8 and be ready for glory. You with me? Jesus was waiting for him, was he not? Waiting for him across the finish line. And what a moment that would have been, right? Bloodied up and killed, and his spirit entered that heaven that was opened. And there was Jesus waiting on him. That's what I want to experience. Hugging him and caressing him and saying, well done, like good and faithful servant. Oh, to hear those words. Anybody with me? Oh, to hear those words. I don't want to hear the applause. I don't want to hear the accolades. I want to hear the voice of Jesus. Well done. Anybody with me today? I want to hear those words. And what we know to be true, I love this about glory before us. It changes us. Stephen was the first in the church to be martyred and killed. The first. But it didn't stop with Stephen. He was only the first. And here we sit in 2021. And here's what you may or may not know. Since the day of Stephen to this very day, approximately, there have been 70 million followers of Jesus who have been martyred for the sake of following Jesus. 70 million. That's larger than most countries in the world in which we find ourselves. And yet the enemy thought that maybe if I just keep on keeping on and taking them out one by one, that this thing called the church would stop. But here's what I want you to understand. It didn't work. It's not going to work. The enemy has gone after in every way. Of those 70 million friends, of 70 million, my friends, 10 million were starved to death over the years. 10 million were shot to death. 10 million died in prison, have died in prison. 7 million followers of Jesus have been beaten to death. 9 million have been killed with the sword. 9 million killed by genocide. And the list goes on and on and on. And Satan thought, I'm going to stop this church. I'm going to start with Stephen. And I'm going to quench it. But here's what we know to be true. The day that Stephen was martyred was the day that the church exploded. And the blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. The blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. I take you to Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where they opened up one of the altars and the voices of those 70 million cried out to the Lord. How much longer, you read it, how much longer before we are vindicated? And just a little bit longer so that we can have more people come into the kingdom. Your murder, your slaughter is not in vain. It is not unnoticed. It will be used and it is being used today. And when you and I have this kind of perspective, when we know that we have a better place than where we are at today, when we have a glory before us, then we're willing to risk in ways that we otherwise would never risk because we know the one goes before us, has us, and has our back. Can I get an amen? We know the one who has called us, we are willing to give in ways that we have never given financially, of our lives, of our time, of our efforts to serve and to love until it hurts. These are things that happen. We need today to experience this supernatural reality as heaven before us. The more that we have this, we are able to live the life that we're supposed to live. Here's what I want you to know very clearly, whatever you're struggling with today, whatever it is you're trying to figure out today, one day very soon, we will be home free. We will be home free very, very soon. We will be home free, free from suffering. We will be home free from tears falling down. We will be home free from cancer and physical ailment. We will be home free from addiction and loneliness and depression. We will be home free from conflict relationally and marriage struggle and a prodigal kids and economic struggle and racial tension. We will be home free very soon. So therefore, when we get that, we're able to echo the Apostle Paul. It is my ambition to run the race and fight the fight, knowing that at the end that I can hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful service. If that is your plea, would you say amen today? So with all that being said, and not knowing what is ahead of us, I know the one I serve already knows what's ahead of us. And I have complete confidence because the longer I serve him, the more stories I've got to see the victory and testimony that the God that has delivered me this far won't let me down as I move ahead. And even if they take my life out physically, I want you to know, as Billy Graham says, and I say to you often, when you hear that Mick Veitch is dead, don't believe it. I'm more alive then than I've ever been alive, standing before you on a semi-trailer truck. Amen. That is the truth. So may we continue moving forward and be that unstoppable force today, knowing that God has called us, regardless of where you are and what you're experiencing. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and ask the worship team to come on up with, if they will. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would have your way with each and every one of us. You would give us exactly what we need, for we know the days ahead of us are certainly not like the days behind us. And we struggle sometimes with fear and being overcome and overwhelmed. But today, we look at this life named Stephen and see how he was faithful to you and how you delivered him. And God, not one of us is facing this thing called physical death as it relates to our faith. But yet we know that that could come quickly. So we ask today that you would enable us to truly choose this day who we're going to serve. And that we truly could be what you want us to be today. I trust you for that. with every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder by a showing of hands, somebody would raise their hand and say, yep, Pastor, what you preached resonates with me. I want to be ready. I want to be like Stephen. I want to preach. I want to be faithful, and I want glory to be in my focus. If that is you, would you raise your hands today out there? Anybody out there says, that's me. Keep them up. That's me. Lord Jesus, you see these hands. I pray today that you would meet them where they are. We are weak, but you are strong. With us, it is impossible. With you, all things are possible. We're grateful today to know that you are faithful to us. And we worship you with everything we've got. You can put your hands down. Thank you, God, that you're going to do a new thing. Isaiah 50 tells us, you declare, I'm doing a new thing. We say, do it, Lord Jesus. Do the new thing. We will follow you till our last breath. Together, we can do it. In Jesus' name, look up this way. Would you stand with me for those of you in the parking lot? In conclusion, let me just say this before we close in a worship song. You and I were never called to do this by ourselves. We were called, look around. We were called to do it together. It's easier to go do it by yourself, but it's never intended. God wanted us to do it together. Don't let your personality give you the rationale that you don't need to gauge. That's why we spent all this time to put up a tent, that you guys could engage one another. Some of you were like, that's just not who I am. You're going to need each other. You might as well start right now, because the church is what will stand at the end of the day. Does this make sense to anybody? There's an old song that has some of the words in it that I want to conclude, and then we're going to worship. Listen, listen, child of God, the church is alive. I'll say it again. Listen, child of God, the church is alive. Discouraged pastor, it's his church, and it is still alive. Lonely missionary, sow that seed with confidence, for the church is still alive today. Old saint, you're not alone, and you are not forgotten. The church still is alive today. It's alive for the brokenhearted, friends. It's alive for those who are struggling. The church is alive. Busy mothers who are overwhelmed, just keep trusting in church and Jesus. The church is still alive. You're not alone. Just keep looking to Jesus. The church is alive. Faithful fathers, there is a rest in the Lord. God's church is alive. So family of God, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. The church of Jesus Christ will triumph. It is alive, my friends. It is alive and well. Hallelujah.